Accession number 17526, Reel 1.
Major Richardson, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Delhi, India.
Which year was this?
In 1919.
Were you born in Delhi because your father was serving in the Indian Army?
Yes, my father was serving in the Indian Army.
What was your family background then as far as India was concerned?
Well, my grandfather had served in the IMS, Indian Medical Services, in India. And my father was born in India.
In Delhi?
No, he was born in the Andaman Island.
Which unit of the Indian Army was he serving in?
He was serving in the 19th Punjab Regiment, and then later he commanded the 22nd Punjab Regiment, which later, under reorganization, became the 14th Punjab Regiment.
What was his name?
My father's name. Charles William Grant Richardson.
Was your mother born in India as well?
No, my mother was born in England.
Where did you have your schooling?
My prep school was at Frinton-on-Sea in Essex, and I went to my public school, Blundell's, at Tiverton in Devon.
How old were you when you left Blundell's?
I was 17.
To go where?
To go to Sandhurst.
So this would have been 36?
It was in fact 38, January 38, when I went to Sandhurst.
What was the course like at Sandhurst in those days?
It was very tough. It was a full 18-month course, and it was very tough.
Had you expected at that time that a war would break out?
Yes, it was pretty certain that war would break out in the fairly recent, fairly foreseeable future.
What were your plans as far as a career was concerned?
My plans had always been to join the Indian Army.
So when you finished at Sandhurst, what happened?
I was commissioned into the Indian Army and sailed for India to be attached to the 1st Battalion, the West Yorkshire Regiment, supposedly for 1 year, which was the custom in those days for all young Indian Army officers.
Attachment to which battalion of the West Yorkshire?
The 1st Battalion.
Where were they?
Secunderabad.
What were your impressions once you got of the unit once you got there?
Oh, it was obviously a very fine regiment.
What kind of training were they supposed to give you once you got to them?
Well, they were supposed to make me a platoon commander, as in the Indian Army, young commissioned officers did not command platoons, and so to give experience of commanding a platoon, that was the chief object. Also, of course, there were many tactical exercises and short cadres courses, and also it gave one a chance to learn Urdu, which was the lingua franca of the old Indian Army.
Any particular experiences that you had whilst you were with the West Jaws?
Not really, no. I suppose the one which came hardest for me was when, at the end of company training, I had to take my platoon on a three-day route march across country, about 20 to 25 miles a day for 3 days. And I got very tired by the end of that. And although we were supposed to do a full year with a British regiment, in fact, because of the outbreak of war, and the Indian Army was crying out for young British officers, my attachment to the West Yorks was cut to 5 months.
Was war declared whilst you were at Secunderabad?
Yes.
How did you react when you heard that we were at war again?
Well, being a young man, I was pretty happy.
Why?
Well, because I joined the army in order to fight the sovereign's enemies and fight for my country, if necessary.
How had you found it commanding British troops?
Not very difficult.
Were they mostly Yorkshiremen in the battalion?
They were indeed, yes. They were. In my platoon, they were 100% Yorkshiremen.
What were their characteristics?
Well, in those days, they were very uneducated. They barely knew how to read or write. And they had to have education classes to try and sort of make them a little bit of educated, and difficult trying to make them read maps, etc.
So once your 5 months with them was up, what then?
Well, I got posting. I received posting orders to proceed to the 2nd Battalion, the 9th Gurkha Rifles, who were stationed in Nandikotal on the far side of the Khyber Pass.
Anything happened to you on the journey?
No, nothing.
What did you find once you got to Nandikotal?
Well, I was met by a fellow officer and taken to the battalion, and taken into the mess to be introduced to the commanding officer and the other officers of the regiment.
Can you remember anything they said to you when you arrived?
No.
What were your duties once you started them?
I was a company officer under a senior company commander of the regiment in order to learn the ropes, and I was also made battalion accounts officer.
Which company did you have?
I was company officer in C Company for my first 3 weeks in the battalion, and then a vacancy occurred in a rifle company, and I was given command of D Company of the battalion.
What was the origins of the men in D Company?
They were all Gurkhas.
Which part of Nepal?
They came from the mid-west Nepal, the traditional recruiting ground for the what we call Western Gurkhas.
And how did you find the men after your Yorkshireman in Secunderabad?
Well, the difficulty was, of course, communication. I had picked up a rudiment of Urdu, which they could understood more or less, although their own native language was Gurkhali.
What were their soldierly characteristics as compared with British soldiers, such as marksmanship or whatever?
Oh, they were way ahead. Much, much better weapon training and map reading, and altogether they were very much more efficient soldiers.
Why should that have been so?
I think it's because of their background in the hills of Nepal, and the fact that they were dedicated soldiers as opposed to the British soldiers of those days, who joined the army in order to avoid being unemployed.
Seems surprising that the Gurkhas' map reading should have been better in view of what must have been an inferior education to British.
Well, it is rather surprising, but they had a much better eye for country, and so they were able to put map to ground rather more easily than soldiers who had been brought up in cities of England.
How did their marksmanship compare with British soldiers?
Oh, the marksmanship was way ahead. They were practically all marksmen, as opposed to the British soldiers, who with great difficulty made them grade two.
And their standard of physical fitness?
Oh, very, very good indeed. Very high standard of physical fitness.
Did they have any drawbacks as compared with British troops?
Well, I suppose the only real drawback was that they could not communicate with people who could not speak their language very adequately.
Did they not speak any English?
Not in those days, no. The only people who spoke English were the clerks.
Were they also Gurkhas?
They were Gurkhas who were mostly recruited from Darjeeling district of India, where there were schools, or also Dehradun, where the headquarters of the regiment was located.
Who was the senior Gurkha in your D company?
It was Subedar Bimbahada Khatri.
Was he able to speak English?
No. Not a word, no.
So it sounds as though learning Gurkhali must have been absolute priority.
Well, it was really, yes. Well, they could communicate in the senior ranks. Gurkha ranks all had to speak Urdu in order to get promotion, and they all had to attend courses in India with Indian soldiers. So they spoke Urdu, of which I had a limited knowledge of.
So there's no question of your communicating with them in Gurkhali?
Not yet, not at that time, no. That had to come. I had to pass myself two Urdu language exams in order to qualify for retention in the Indian Army. And my first task was to pass those exams, and having passed them, then I was able to get down to Gurkhali and communicate more easily with the men.
Were the different platoons of your D company a mixture of different castes, or?
No, the regiment, 9th Gurkhas, consisted of two main castes, the Takas and Chetris of Nepal, and the preponderance was Takas, but otherwise they were a complete mixture of those two main jats.
Were you able to tell a Taka from a Chetri?
Yes, I was after a short time. Initially it was difficult, but after it didn't take very long to be able to differentiate.
What did you look for?
Well, the Tarka on the whole had more Mongolian looks than a Chetri, who had a certain amount of Rajput blood in his veins and was more Aryan featured.
Did the two groups have any different qualities as regards soldiering?
Not really, although we reckoned that the Tarka was probably slightly better than the Chetri.
What was the origin of the Subadar?
The Subadar was a Chetri.
Was there any tension between the two groups?
No, none at all.
What was your unit supposed to be doing at Landikotal?
It was just garrisoning it. It was on the frontier. We were only about 5 miles from the Afghan border. And there were three battalions in Landikotal, and they were safeguarding the Khyber Pass.
Was the situation when you arrived peaceful or disturbed?
Well, it was peaceful. The local tribesmen were of the Afridi tribe, and at that time the Afridis were peaceful towards the British government.
How did you like it at Landikotal?
Oh, I liked it very much indeed. It was very cold when I arrived in the end of January, at far north and slightly and high up from the plains of India. In the hot weather, on the other hand, it became extremely hot.
So you were just doing training?
Yes, we were doing training in mostly in frontier warfare at that time, because you never could tell where trouble might brew up. The Afridis might cease to be friendly towards the British government. You never could foretell what Pathan tribesmen were going to get up to. And so we had to be prepared to take them on if they were to have an uprising. And also, at that particular time, the British government was nervous of Russia. The Germans had yet to invade Russia, and the Russians were, on the whole, at that time, still had their eyes on India. And, of course, that would have been one of their main routes if they had decided to advance into India. And fortifications, etc., were built on the high ground, strategic positions, against the Russians. This was in 1940.
What was the demeanour of the local Afridis towards you, from what you could observe?
At that time, they were friendly. When I say they were friendly, they were not hostile. They were not exactly friendly, but they were not hostile.
Were you able to speak Pashto?
No. Later on, when I had a second tour in the frontier, I could say, I could greet a Pathan in Pashto, and could answer his answer, and I could understand his answer. But I certainly couldn't speak a word. I was far too set on trying to learn Urdu and get and understand my own men, let alone start trying to understand Pathans at that time.
What do you say when you greet a Pathan?
It's getting a bit rusty now. I think it was Koramashi.
What does it mean?
And he would, may your shadow never diminish. And he would answer Staromashi.
Which means?
More or less the same thing backwards and same to you.
How how long were you at Llandicurtle doing this?
From January to October 1940.
Any incidents that happened to you there?
Well, I became very ill, but apart from that, that was about the only incident.
Ill with what?
I had a combination of jaundice and sandpipe fever.
How do you think you got those diseases?
Difficult to say, really. In fact, I don't know.
Did you get adequate treatment?
Yes, there was what was called a CIMH in Llandicotal, a combined Indian military hospital. As there were no British troops there, that really meant that there was one ward set aside for any British officer who might have gone sick.
What kind of symptoms did you have?
Well, I felt extraordinarily ill. My face, of course, went yellow. Couldn't eat any food and felt very weak and had a high fever.
Were the men getting this type of thing?
No.
Were your brother officers?
No, I was the only one at that time.
How long did it take you to recover?
Well, I was in the hospital for 6 weeks, and then I was sent on a 10-day sick leave up into the hills from Dehradun, because I was posted from the 2nd, 9th, to the battalion which was raising the 3rd, 9th in Dehradun. And before joining the 3rd, 9th, I was sent on sick leave to a place called Chakrata, up in the foothills of the Himalayas.
So your battalion in Llandicurtle was the 2nd 9th Guard.
That's right, yeah.
What happened next?
I joined the 3rd 9th Gurkhas in Dehradun, which was being raised as reinforcements for the Indian Army. Every Gurkha regiment was ordered to raise a 3rd battalion, which they had done in the First World War.
So these were just raw recruits?
No, not entirely. They had from the two parent battalions, the 1st and the 2nd battalions of the 9th, the Gurkha officers, senior NCOs and junior NCOs, and a certain number of riflemen were transferred, but the bulk of the riflemen were recruits who had undergone a certain amount of recruit training at the regimental centre in Dehradun.
So you were there from about October to...
I was there from October till March. Wrong. I was in the 3rd 9th from October till March, and in March the 4th 9th was raised, and each battalion had to send a certain number of pre-war regular officers, of which I was one, unfortunately, and as I was the most junior in the 3rd 9th, I was duly posted to the 4th 9th in March 1941.
Also in Dehradun?
In Dehradun, yes. That was the regimental centre of the 9th Gurkhas.
How did these new recruits compare with the ones you'd known in the 2nd 9th?
Well, in the 4th 9th, everybody, the regiments were getting a bit fed up with raising new battalions by this time. And the 4th 9th was raised entirely from raw recruits, had no training at all. And the Gurkha officers and NCOs were mostly reservists, and those NCOs and GOs and NCOs whom the parent battalions did not think too highly of. And so the 4th Night got off to a bit of a raw start.
Did you think that opinion of those people who had been sent there was justified or not?
Yes, I do. This stage in the war, both the 1st and 2nd battalions had mobilized to go, the 1st Night to go to the Middle East, 4th Indian Div, and initially the 2nd Night was also to go to the Middle East. But then when the Japanese entered the war, the unfortunate 2nd Night, my old battalion, was sent to Malaya. And they quite rightly, they considered that it was most unlikely that the 4th Ninth would ever go to the war. They were going to probably be used for internal security, and therefore the priority was not to send high quality material to this newly raised battalion. They had sent their best to the 3rd Battalion. That was given every opportunity to uphold the prestige of the regiment.
And what about the privates themselves?
The riflemen were all raw recruits.
But were they of good quality?
Well, yes, they were basically good quality, yes. Yes, they were the same jat, Chetris and Tarkas, mostly Chetris, because the Tarkas are a far smaller tribe in Nepal than the Chetris.
What happened to you next from March
1941? About the middle of the hot weather, about July, the battalion was sent off into the central provinces of India to a small station called Kamti, which is about 10 miles from the name of the place is gone now. It was a large Indian city.
Bhopal?
No.
Nagpur?
That's right, Nagpur.
What was the purpose of sending them to Kamti?
Well, I think it was a sort of a reserve. There was supposed to, the contingent had always had a battalion there, and the battalion, there was no battalion there, and there was always there'd been a British company in the fort, Sitabaldi Fort, Nagpur, and that British battalion was pulling out, and eventually we had to send a company to this fort in Nagpur. Our job was internal security.